Well, good morning. I'm going to ask you to go ahead and turn your Bibles to the 17th chapter of John's Gospel. That's what we're going to be looking at today, digging into this passage here, to this whole chapter, verses 1 through 26. We're going to be bouncing around some, so you can kind of stay right here at John 17. You can follow me as I would go along, but like I said, I'm going to be going through some scriptures, bouncing around on that. Before we begin today, let me share a little story with you. In our camping trip, we went camping, and I started to talk to you about this a couple of weeks ago, but we didn't get to fish much. In fact, we fished for about 3 hours the whole entire 8 days that we're there, so we had a lot of other things going. So the first time that we went to go fishing, and I don't know Shaver Lake that well on how to catch fish there. I'm going to have to pick some guys' brains around here. But I asked a guy at the tackle place, and I just asked him, so where could me and my grandson and my wife, you know, and Ashley was there at this time, run and go try to catch fish. He said, go to the dam, walk down those rocks, go to the dam, fish down in there. And so we went there and looked at it and went in the later in the afternoon and worked our way down this rocky cliff. And as we were at the top, these guys came up and said, yeah, they're down there. We've been down there like 6-7 hours. We finally figured out about 6 to 8 feet of leader with power bait, let it float there. You'll get one. So we tried, and we tried for an hour and a half. We had a great time. We were just hanging out, and it's interesting, you know, we got worms, and we got all of that, and my grandson Cameron, he's fishing a little bit, but he ends up playing with the worms more. He made a home for each one of them, and he had them all decked out, and he's got all these worms, and then he's saying, can I take them home? And so I promised him when we got home, we'll get some more worms. We haven't got them yet. But so then the next day, you know, we're talking about going again. We have a lot of things that we're doing, and it's later on in the evening, and I said, well, I remember when I was up here before, you go up the road a ways, about halfway to Huntington Lake, and you get up there, and you go back into where, up there at Shaver Lake, they do a lot of pumping water up the hill at night, and then holding it in a pond or small lake. It might, it's one of, in between there, big pond, small lake. And then in the day, they let it out, and it generates electricity. And so I remember this pond, it's about a mile walk from the road, and we get there, and we walk back there, and we're facing west. It's about 5:30, and the sun is setting kind of down at the top of the trees, and it's this beautiful lake. There's not anybody there but us. It's pretty incredible. I mean, and it's really nice, and we sneak down in there, and we're going to be quiet. And so I throw Cameron's line out there. Well, he tries a few times. You know, he's got that little short pole. You know how that is. He's got a bobber on it, and he's got some power bait, and he throws it out there. And before we can get Krista's line in, right as we get hers in, and she's going to try a worm, Cameron's bobber goes, boom. So pull it, Cameron. And so he pulls it, but you know how little ones are. They never keep the slack up, so he pulls it, and it doesn't move because he just pulled the slack. And so I said, well, you got to tighten it up. So I'm working with that. So we throw it back out, boom. There goes the bobber right down. They pull it, and, you know, he pulls, runs up the hill. We're having a great time, and so we change Krista's rig and get power bait on hers, and she gets some bites, and I just kind of throw mine over in the corner and bobber on it. And the whole entire hour and a half there, mine threw it out 4 or 5 times. Nothing ever happened to it. And so then we're fishing along, and that's going on with Cameron, and now he's starting to play with the worms again. And Krista, she sneaks over that way, and I'm watching her over there. She's very delicately and artfully and crafty, she's throwing the line in the right spots, and she's over there, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And I'm sitting back and I'm just enjoying it, just saying, wow, what a great day. And something comes upon my heart. Adrian Rogers, I listened to him before he preached a message about ask and you will, it'll be given, seek and you will find, knock and it'd be opened. And he's talking about talking to the Lord in prayer and seeking the Lord. And he's in Florida, and he's fishing with some guys over in Florida, 4 or 5 other guys, and they're there fishing, and these guys are catching some big ones. And he's been there for hours. He's kind of sunburnt now, and he says, you know, Lord, I've been preaching on this and teaching on this. I know you hear me, and I know you have a will and all of that. But, you know, he said, and he did it. He did it on his tackle box. He said, I'm knocking. I'd like to catch a big fish. He said, but I want to seek you in it all. And so he uses this, and then so he's about 15 minutes in, and he catches the biggest fish of the whole trip. And he reels it all in. I don't know why this came across. I know why, but we're there fishing, and this comes across my heart. And And so we do like what we all do. You know, after he got the one in, he kind of went, oh, Lord, do it again, do it again. And then his heart went, you know what? It wasn't about catching a fish, was it, Lord? It was about knowing that you know me and that you understand me and that you hear me. And so that comes across my heart, and we're there. And I just said, you know, Lord, this is the last time we're going to fish here. It'd be great if we caught one fish. And so we fished till the sun got a little bit down. It's about 7 o'clock, and I said, well, we got to go. We got a mile walk out. We don't want to be here in the dark. And so Crystal walks on over, and I'm helping Cameron put his line away. He says, one more time. So I throw it out there. Nothing happens, and we get it up, and I'm tying it up, and I grab mine. I go, zzz. Guess what's on the line? There's a trout on the line. We never really fished with that pole. It was there, and you know when you leave it there and they scoop it up the bottom, they swallow it. It goes all the way down. So now I've got it up, and Cameron's excited, but he's never seen that before, where you got to take the pliers and reach in there and get that out without just ripping all the guts out. And so I'm reaching in there, and I'm getting it out, and we throw it in the water, and the fish is kind of not doing much, and now he's like, oh, it's not swimming. We'll give it time and that kind of thing, and we kind of move away, and we're heading up, and then the fish swims away. Now, I tell you that story, in a sense, just to prompt our hearts to know that the Lord hears us and we want to hear the Lord. But really, I just wanted to sneak in a good fish story this morning. But like I ask you, if we're in the chapter 17 of John's Gospel, we're going to look at this. And I want you to read along with me and be ready to bounce around. For 2 weeks, today and next week, we'll be looking at verses 1 through 26. And you've got your place. And, you know, I wrote some things some author said about this. Pastor Tom shared with us some really good insight about this. But one author wrote, there's really no other chapter in the Bible like this one, and there really isn't. He went on to write that this chapter embraces the longest recorded prayer of our Lord while he was on the earth. He said no doubt he prayed other prayers as lengthy as this, is way much longer than this. We know that he spent much time in prayer, but this heartfelt, now listen to me, this heartfelt petition from Son to Father was spoken openly before his disciples immediately before he went to the cross and recorded for us for all time. And I want you to prompt your heart in that. I want you to think about that for a moment. God knew this was going to be recorded. God knew that this was going to be down. But right here, Christ prays with his disciples right before the cross, openly, verbally, to hear, for them to hear, for us to hear. Each and every time you read it, each and every time you go through it, it's for you to hear the Lord's praying for himself and for you. The Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, the one that gave his life for us, the Savior, the Lord, praying to the Father. There's so much to gain from the study of this chapter, so many theological truths, so many doctrinal things supported and presented. We could take months to delve into it all, but for 2 weeks, I want to do this. I'd like us to do this, to focus our heart on the Lord's heart in this prayer. To focus our mind. We see and hear the Lord's deepest desires revealed. And that's what I put in your outline. You hear it in prayer. You hear it as he talks to the Father. You hear that he prays for himself. You hear that he prays for us, and he continues to do so. Like John 12, 27, he said this in earlier. He said, now my soul has become troubled. These are Jesus' words, and because what lies ahead of him? And he says, what shall I say? Shall I pray to the Father? Father, save me from this hour? But in his heart, listen to his heart, listen to the desire of Christ. But for this purpose I came to this hour, so I pray, Father, glorify your name. That's what we're going to be doing. We're going to be listening to the Lord in that way. Matthew 26, you know, we know the Garden of Gethsemane, and we've read that and stood that, but listen to the heart. Listen to the desire of the Lord. He's with Peter and John and James, and they go off, and it says this. Jesus says, hey, my soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch with me. So he left them, and he went beyond them, and he fell on his face, and this is what Christ said. He said, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will. And then the second time he said, my Father, if this cannot pass away unless I drink it, your will be done. And I just gave you a little snippet. Those are just little things in there that we capture the heart of Christ. We capture the deepest desires of Christ when he prays. When he goes to the Father, we get the glimpse of this. This whole chapter is that. So what I want to encourage us in, as we look at the heart of the Lord, I want you to think about how you pray. I want you to think about how you talk to the Lord. I want you to well up in your mind and God to bring to your heart, what are your deepest desires revealed when you come to communion with the Lord, when you come to talk to Christ, when you pray to him, when you seek him? Now, all of us know that when we're in a foxhole during a battle, you pray the immediate desire. When the bombs are coming in and the enemy is against you and all of that, we pray immediate desires. But what I want you to think about and maybe even notice or recognize as you go forward in your life, what I want you to think about is when you spend time with Christ, when you're meditating on his word or studying or you're just talking to him about life and all that you got going on or praying about whatever's in your life and all of that, you know, your deepest desires are revealed. That's what we're going to see of Christ. We're going to see his and how he prays for us, but we're going to apply it to ourselves and look and see and recognize that you reveal what's heavy on your heart. And so that's what the Lord is doing here, what we can see. We're just going to look at that. We're not going to get into all the theological truths. We're not going to get into all the doctrines that are presented or supported. What we're going to do is look at Christ in an intimate time with his Father right before he goes to the cross in his time of prayer. His deepest desires are revealed. Now again, so let's listen to the Lord's heart, understanding that the Lord's disciples are hearing every word like we are today. It's like we're really right there with him. Capture that in your heart. Listen to the Lord. Jesus spoke these things, and lifting up his eyes to heaven, he said, Father, the hour's come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. Even as you gave him authority over all flesh, that to all whom you have given him, he may give eternal life, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Father, I've glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work which you have given me to do. Now, Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. Father, I've manifested your name to the men you've given me out of this world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have come to know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words which you gave me, I've given them, and they received them and truly understood that I came from you. And they believe that you sent me. Father, I ask on their behalf. I do not seek on the behalf of the world, but on those you have given me, for they are yours, and all things that are mine are yours, and all yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. I am no longer going to be in the world, and yet they themselves are going to be in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father. Keep them in your name, the name which you have given me, that they may be one even as we are. While I was with them, I was keeping them in your name, which you have given me, and I guarded them, and not one of them perished, but the son of perdition, so that the scripture would be fulfilled. But now, Father, I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, so that they may have joy, my joy made full in themselves. I've given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. They are not of this world, even as I am not of this world. Lord, sanctify them in your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have also sent them into the world. For their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. Father, I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those who believe in me through their word, not that they may all be one, even as you, Father, and me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. Father, the glory which you have given me, I've given them, and they may be one, just as we are one, I and them, you and me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you have sent me and loved them, even as you have loved me. Father, desire that they also, whom you have given me, be with me where I am, so that they may see my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world, O righteous Father. Although the world has not known you, yet I know you, and these have known that you sent me, and I have made your name known to them and will make it known, so that the love which you loved me may be in them and I in them. Wow. Now, as we're focusing our hearts and our minds, we're hearing the deepest desires of the Lord, aren't we? So much there, but that's what we want to focus on, hearing his heart. Now, as we begin, verses 1 through 5 are about what he prays for himself. What we'll focus on today, next week, we'll look at verses 6 through 26, which he prays for us. So if you look with me in verse 1 again, he asked one thing for himself. Listen to what he asked. It's in verse 1 and verse 5. Listen to what he asked. He says, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. In verse 5, he says, Now, Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. He says, Glorify the Son, so I may glorify you. This is his one request. Do you know what it took for Christ to be glorified? To be crucified. God sustained him through this life. God used him. He walked a holy, sinless, holy life. He went to the cross and was crucified, was raised again, brought back to heaven. The main thing to glorify the Son was to crucify him. For him to be torqued, for him to be rejected, for him to be disliked, for him to be hated, for people to spit upon him, for all of that went on, for the torque, the what it was to be crucified, all of that. So he's basically saying, Lord, Father, do what we've planned to do toward me. God sustained his life. He raised him from the dead and returned him back to the fathers. But what he's talking about is to glorify Christ so God would be glorified, was to crucify Christ. And he says, let's do it, Lord. Let's do it, Father. That's the Lord's deepest desire, whatever it takes, whatever the journey is to do that. Whatever it comes your way, whatever is before you, whatever is there before Christ's life, whatever it is, whatever it takes to glorify God, let it be in my life, let it come, let it happen, because it's about the glory of God, it's not about the glory of me. Look at verse 4, he says this, I glorified you on the earth, having accomplished the work which you have given me to do. All of his life, whatever he lived for, whatever he died for, glorified God. Jesus said in John 13:31, right after he confronted Judas in the betrayal of him, he's telling Judas, I know what you're going to go do what you're going to do quickly, do it, make it happen. You go tell them, get the silver, come back, arrest me, crucify me. I know all that's going on. He said, now is the Son of Man glorified and God is glorified in him. The Lord embraced whatever life brought to glorify God. Look with me at chapter 7 of John's Gospel. Look with me here, and we'll just pick up on this a little bit. We're going to breeze through some of this quickly. But in John chapter 7, listen to the story that's there, verse 14 and following. Here's the dynamic of it. During the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple, verse 14, and began to teach. The Jews then were astonished, saying, how has this man become learned? He's never been educated. So Jesus says this. This is what comes out of his mouth. My teaching is not of mine, but of him, of his who sent me. If anyone is willing to do his will, he will the Father's will, God's will, if anyone is willing to do that, he will know the teaching, whether it is of God and whether it speaks from myself. And then Jesus says this. He who speaks from himself seeks his own glory, but he who is seeking the glory of the one who sent him, he is true, and there's no unrighteousness in him. So Christ there says to be true in this life, to live a pure life in this life, to live a righteous life in this life is not to seek our own glory. It's to seek the glory of the one that saved you, that rescued you, that delivered you, that redeemed you, that sent you. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about, hey, life is about glorifying God. We say that. We know that. Sometimes we stamp those things to it. He says it's how to live a pure life is to seek the glory of the one who rescued you. the one that sent Christ for us, the one that saved us. The words that we speak sought his glory. His teaching was to glorify God. Scripture tells us all over the place that he did whatever he did in word or deed, whether in miracles or ministry or loving God or loving others, was for God's glory, not his own glory. That's his deepest desire. You hear it in his prayer here. In fact, think with me, with what Jesus said, in what the words of Paul, what he wrote about Christ in Philippians 2 when he said this. But Jesus emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Here's the second person of the Trinity, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God himself. He laid down, so to speak, all the glory that he had when he was with the Father. He laid down all the honor and glory due him here to come to do the Father's will, to accomplish a task, to do a work. That's what he's talking about here. He's praying, finish that work is basically what he's talking about. Make it all happen, Lord, bring about. He was here to accomplish a work. Look at chapter 17 of John again. Look at verse 4 again. He said, I glorified you on the earth, having accomplished the work which you have given me to do. He was here to do a work. The purpose of his earthly life, the reason of God for why he was here, his deepest desire was to live for that reason. Listen to John 4:34. Listen to what Christ said here. Christ said this, it's on the front of your bulletin, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Think about that for a moment. What does food do for you? Food is sustaining of your life, isn't it? He's comparing it to this life. We need food to live, right? Some of us need to eat less food, but we need food to live. I'll raise my hand on that one and be careful what we eat. But he's saying, my food is to do what the will of the Father is. I came to accomplish that work. He's connecting that to sustaining food with accomplishing his work. It's the same kind of sustaining in life. We know about work, right? You guys work all the time, don't you? Good place for an amen. Right, you work all the time. You slave hard all the time, right? You got tasks to complete. You got projects to complete. You got work to be done. All these farmers out here and all the things, if you just sit and talk with them and let them share with you all that they got to complete, that they're trying to get done before the rain or all that kind of stuff. We understand what he's talking about here. We understand what he's saying in this. You know, there's a work to accomplish of God, and it's like food to my life. And he applies it to us. Listen to what he says. Do you not say that there are yet 4 months and then comes the harvest? Hey, you know how this works. You know how work goes. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes. There's a work of God to accomplish. That's what he's saying. Get your eyes up off yourself. Lift them up. Listen, there's nothing wrong with working, but look. At the fields, they are white for harvest. Already who reaps is receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life, so that he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in the case, this saying is true. One sows, another reaps. I sent you to reap for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor. We know this too, don't we? How many years of legacy are some of the farms that were important? How much labor went before you came into the dairy? It's a legacy, isn't it? There was a work going on 6 generations ago. And there's a work being carried on by you. That's what Jesus is talking about. It's food sustaining to our life. It's a work to accomplish. We're continuing the work of Christ. It's a legacy. We enter into where somebody else labored. We enter into where somebody else has reaped. We're participating in this. This is what he's teaching. Jesus is just coming in at the time that God has been working for. How long has it been going on since Christ came? He's making a statement here and talking about that there's a work to accomplish that God is at work at and has been from day one. In John 5:36, he says this. But the testimony which I have is greater than the testimony of John. For the works which the Father has given me to accomplish, the very works that I do testify about me that the Father has sent me. Did you hear what he said? The testimony of my life is that I came to do what the Father had me come to do, to accomplish his work. And accomplishing work testifies that I'm the one that the Father sent. The same for us. And we can continue and look in John 9, 1 through 5, where Jesus, you know, they ask him, hey, has this guy sinned? Was it his parents' sin or his sin that made him blind? And Jesus said, no, it was all ordained so that the Father would be glorified and that he was going to receive sight now. We need to do the works that we can do that are in the day because night is coming. And since I'm here, I need to be a light of the world. John 14, 31, he said it another way. He said it like this. Accomplishing the work that God had for him to do. But so that the world may know that I love the Father, I do exactly what the Father has commanded me. And then we know that at the end of his life, John 19, 30, he said, it's finished, as he hung on the cross. And bowed his head and gave up his spirit. He was here to accomplish the work. It's a deep desire of the Lord. In the prayer, you hear it. It's what he wanted to do. He's acknowledging it right here in the end. I've glorified you here. The finished work is right there. It's the next day. And I've accomplished the work that you wanted to do. And if we thought of, turn back to John 17, if we thought of what it looks like, the overall purpose of the work that he was here to accomplish, it's right there in your outline. It's to save souls. Verse 2 and 3 says that. He says this as he prays, even as you have given him authority over all flesh, that to all whom you have given him, he may give eternal life. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. Do you know what salvation is? Salvation is way more than getting to go to heaven. Salvation is way more than even getting forgiven of your sins. Salvation is so huge, it's so big. Put it this way, put it in your mind. It's rescue, it's deliverance, it's restoration, it's reconciliation. It mends the brokenhearted. It brings back a dead soul. It brings life to a dead person in that sense. It's called eternal life. So to be saved is to have eternal life. He describes it right here and tells us what it is. Eternal life is to have a reconciled relationship with God, to know him, to know the Lord Jesus Christ. He came to rescue broken people. He came to save, to deliver broken hearts and restore them back to God. He came to save people's soul from being separated from God because of sin. That's what he's in the part he was doing the work to accomplish. You know, he does that in our lives, even that we're saved. Think about when you struggle. Think about when you're having a difficult time. Think about when it seems like everything is against you, or it seems like nothing is fitting, or it seems like, you know, you're so far from God. Those things in life. Just think about those difficulty things that you have in life and in just this life you go on. You know what brings you back? You know what rescues you? You know what delivers you? To come back into that relationship with the Lord. We all know when we've walked away. We all know when we've strayed and we're not embracing that. We've been learning that 5 Sunday school classes. Being encouraged to see all that's in our life. See, the Lord's prayer is he wants to give you the relationship with God that God wants you to have. He died on the cross and gave his life and lived a sinless life and was raised from the dead and went back to heaven so God could give you what God wants you to have. It's the desire of Christ for you to know him, to know the Lord and be in relationship with him. And when we struggle in that and stumble in that, the answer to all of that is to dig back in your relationship with God. And he forever lives to make intercession for you. So God's never in the way about your relationship with him. And that's what Jesus is wanting us to see and hear, his deepest desires. He wants to glorify God, accomplish the work. He wants to bring broken hearts back to himself. In John 4, 14, Jesus said this, everyone who drinks the water of Christ that's giving, the water of forgiveness, of redemption, of reconciliation through faith in him, said, shall never thirst. It's this water of life. It will become like a well and spring up into eternal life, to knowing God, a life of knowing the Lord, of walking with the Lord, of being in relationship with God. You guys know wells, right? You know the devastation when they go dry. You know the heart of the people of this valley and how hard they seek to find water. What we found in Christ is living water that wells up a spring of eternal life, of knowing God And any time that we get dry in our life, any time that we struggle in that, God is just saying, come to me, draw to me, seek me through the truth of my word. Come and have a, because the water of life is like a well of living water. You hear the heart of Christ as he prays? And what he wants for the people that know him and what he desires to do while he's here? The Lord's deepest desire. I love what 1 John 5:10-11 says. 1 John 5, the Apostle John writes this, verse 10, he says this, the one who believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. Verse 10, and the testimony is this, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son, and he who has the Son has the life. Life like a well overflowing, gushing out of knowing God, of being reconciled back to God, of having the life that God designed for each one that has been saved to have. He is so relational. Verse 20, he says this, and we know that the Son of God has come, and he has given us understanding, so that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true. This is the true God and eternal life. See, life is about knowing the Lord. It's about knowing Christ in heaven, in eternity. I won't have any of this sinful flesh in the way. I'll actually do it a whole lot better and appreciate it a whole lot more. But see, can you see the desire of Christ? I want to glorify you. That's my life's goal. I want to accomplish the work that you sent me here to do. And I want you to use that to reconcile people back to you, to restore the relationship back to you, to bring them into an intimate knowing of God, a relationship with God forever. I want you to break the separation that is because of sin. He even does that in our lives today. You hear the heart of the Lord and the deepest desires that he prays? I want you to capture that with me, and we're going to talk about it some more tomorrow, or not tomorrow. Hey, you guys want to come Monday? I'm willing. Are you guys willing? But capture that with me, the Lord's deep desire for the souls of people. Capture the desire to glorify God. Capture the desire to accomplish his work. Capture the desire to bring restoration to all souls. Let that sink in for a moment. Hear in the word of God, hear in the prayer of Christ, his desire for you to be rescued. Hear it. You're right there. In glorifying God, he saved you. In accomplishing the work, he did what it took to save you. In his heart, he wanted you restored in relationship back to God and him. That's what he's praying about. He'll go on to pray next week about us. So as we close here today, let's apply this to our life. It's in your outline there. I got it on your notes. How does the Lord's desire speak to us today? Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 10. And I'll keep this short. A couple of verses here. How does the Lord speak to us today and what we're looking at? And we looked at it briefly. I spent 30 minutes talking about five verses here about the Lord's relationship with us that we could talk for weeks. But the Holy Spirit is there, and he's speaking to our hearts, and he's ministering to us today. Look at 1 Corinthians 10:31. Let's just read what Paul wrote here. Paul wrote, whatever then you do, whatever you do, you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. He said, give no offense either to Jew or Greeks or to the church of God, just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, so that they may be saved. That sound like the Lord to you? Sounds like the Lord Jesus Christ, same word to me. Hey, I'm just going to do all to the glory of God. It's all going to be pointing to him. It's not about exalting me. It's not about my life. It's not about even considering in my life in that kind of sense. It's all about how God wants to be glorified, and there's a work to do. We got to do some work. We can't give offense to those kind of things. We got to work to minister in people's life. We can't seek our own profit so that God will use this to rescue broken people. Sounds like the same thing as Jesus Christ to me as what he wrote here. And he's talking to us about how we're to live our life. Peter said it this way. I love the way Peter said it. Peter, one verse, he said it in a short way. Peter wrote like that. You know, just let's get cut to the chase here. But listen to chapter 4, verse 11. Listen to what he says. Whoever speaks, okay, that kind of covers most of your life, right? Whenever you're talking, whatever you're teaching, whatever you're talking about, whatever you're doing, and words are coming out, it's to do as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves, listen to what he says, is to do it as the one who is serving by the strength of God supplies. So that in all things, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and dominion forever and ever and ever. Amen. That's pretty simple, isn't it? So in our lives, as we apply this to ourselves, the deepest desires, the deepest longings of the heart of the Lord, God is going to work those to become a part of our deepest desires, isn't he? He talks all over in Scripture, all over the place, and we won't cover it all, about how he's working those things in our heart. You know all that the Lord is doing? I'll speak like Peter. I'll just cut to the chase. He's just trying to work in you his heart. That's all he's trying to do. He's just trying to work in you his desires. He's just trying to work in you that you would live like Christ lives. We read it all the time. And so it would be good to identify the desires of the ones trying to work in you what he desires. To honor him the way you live, to live for him, to glorify him with the work to do. So that would be one, right? To glorify him. Two would be there's a work to do. We all know Ephesians 2:10. God says it this way. Listen to Paul. He says, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. That's such an incredible statement. God has put his hand to each one of us like the potter does to clay, and he crafted by his workmanship for you to do good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. The creative God created you in your salvation, crafted you, worked in your life, and presented with you with the works that he prepared beforehand so that you would walk in them, that you'd live in them daily. That includes all that God wants to accomplish through your life. That what he wants to accomplish in his creation and what he's doing here, it's all working together. Third, and the final point on there, to rescue souls, to save souls. That's what he came to do. That's what he's using you to do. That's the church. Look at Ephesians 4 with me, and we'll look at this briefly and close. So you would write down, how does the Lord speak to us today? We're to glorify God. We're to accomplish the work, and we're to rescue relationships back to God. That's a good way to see that. And Ephesians 4, 11 through 13 says it this way. This is a great way to see this. As Paul writes to the church, and he says Jesus did this. You see, Jesus set up his church to glorify God, to accomplish a work, to build relationships back with God. That's what he set his church up to do. Verse 11, and he gave, Jesus Christ gave to his church some apostles, some prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain the unity of faith, and to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. You got to love sometimes how Paul expands everything in his writing. He doesn't cut to the chase sometimes. He's very eloquent in his words and all he's saying. But this is what he said. He said he set it up in order so we would all be equipped, you and me, all of us. We'd be prepared, equipped, given the necessary things that we need to do all that God has given us to do. And it all plays a part in the restoration of souls back to Christ. What God has given you to do, me to do, all of us to do, whether it's ushering or serving or calling somebody on a phone or giving somebody a ride, all of this is entailed, incorporated in the work of God, the Spirit leading us, guiding us, walking us in this life. What he's working us in this life is to live a life that glorifies God, that accomplishes the work that God has planned to do, to rescue, to restore people back to God, bringing salvation. And whatever you do to build up the body of Christ, whether it is that you bring growth through sanctification, that you bring encouragement through sanctification, or help others become closer to the Lord or grow their relationship with the Lord, or whatever you do, bring salvation to the lost soul. We do it till the end. That's what he's saying here. We don't ever stop. We do it till the end, till we all one day attain the fullness of Christ, our deepest desires revealed. I'm not there yet. How about you? I wrote that in the outline here. I said, wow, that's pretty incredible, Lord, to see you're talking here and you're working these desires in my heart. So the Lord's desires are to become my deepest desires. You're going to have to help me on this, Lord. He said, obviously. But I know the direction I'm heading. Do you know the direction you're headed? I know that you are headed in that direction. So we come to him today, asking him, seeking him, praying. That's what we've been talking about all day today in his prayer. Lord, make us like you. Bring restoration, bring reconciliation, bring redemption, bring growing relationship with you, bring what you're going to bring. That's his heart. That's to be ours also. Let's pray before we do our closing song. Father, we come before you this morning as your people. We bow ourselves humbly before you. We give recognition and honor, Lord, that you are a great and mighty God, that you are, while we're here, that before all this was created, in your heart and mind, you already made a way to restore our relationship with you. Your desires revealed in the sending of Christ and what Christ went through, on that you want your creation to be in relationship with you. You want us, you want me. As we looked before last week, I'm a subject of your reconciling act. Thank you, Lord, for your choice in doing that. Thank you, Lord, for your patience with me and with us. So we come before you and ask, Lord, that you would guide and lead us and grow our relationship with you. That where we aren't willing, that you would help us become willing. When there is something in the way, that you would help us see what's in the way. Maybe through a brother or sister or friend, or just through your word and preaching of your word by the Spirit, and giving us conviction, guiding us along. We come and ask, Lord. We knock. We seek for you to lead our lives. As much as you give good gifts to us, you give perfect gifts. We trust that and believe in it. In Christ's name, we pray to you. Amen.